And a good Saturday morning to you. Yes, welcome back to this edition of Smart Garden Show around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. If you're new to the show, thanks for checking us out. Let me introduce you to our great brain power this morning. And we've got not one but two. Mary Meyer from the U of M is back with us once again. Good morning, Mary.
Oh, good morning, Denny. Great to talk gardens. I can't believe it's July 20th already.
I know it. And of course, you may have heard, if you're a regular listener, our turf expert from the U of M, John Trappi. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny. Thank you very much for having me back.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming back. I know, and Mary knows, too, and how busy we do get, generally speaking, but when we can get some specific questions, Mary knows her grasses as well, and John, of course, is what we like to call our turf guru. So any lawn or garden question, of course, is welcome this morning at 651-461-9226. Keep in mind, you can phone in your question. We'd love to hear your voice. Or if you prefer, just send a text, 651-461-9226. And as usual, Mary and John, we're already getting a bunch of text messages even before the show began, which is not unusual. So let's see how many folks we can help out from the start here. All right. Where am I? All right. This texter says the show is a highlight of their weekend. Well, thank you for that. They want to start another crop of leaf lettuce, and they were wondering when I should plant that so I can harvest it right before it gets really cold.
Yes, you can do that now. There are actually quite a few things you can replant in your vegetable garden or do succession planting. Lettuce is a great thing to try. You can also try spinach, Swiss chard, broccoli, because broccoli will take cooler weather conditions as well, and green beans. Usually, right now is about the end of the line, mid-July. You can plant green beans, string beans, again, and usually get a second harvest in the fall. So good thinking. When your first crop of beans is done, you can plant a second one.
Absolutely. This listener wants to know, when is a good time to thin out an ornamental crab apple tree?
Thin out. Well, that would actually be the pruning, I'm sure, thinking the person is talking about. You can do that. I would say get that done between now and August 1st. We don't like to do major pruning on trees and shrubs as we're going into the fall. Pruning stimulates regrowth. The regrowth is more likely to be injured in the winter. So try to get most of your pruning done between now and August 1st, I would say.
Here's an interesting question I don't think we've ever had before, John and Mary. What is the best sprinkler, above-ground sprinkler? The back and forth or the round? Well, what?
Oh, go for that, John. What do you think?
I love that. Yeah, sure. Good question.
I would say try to tailor it towards what the area needs. It sounds really kind of simple, but you know, sometimes you may have more rectangular shape, sometimes you'll have more circular shape. Just whatever can evenly spread the water out over the area. And you can probably even find some sprinklers that can be adaptable for the pattern that they actually use. Personally, I'm a fan of the oscillating ones that go back and forth, because a lot of times you can change the starting and stopping point and the pattern a little bit easier.
Yeah, it does make sense. Another text says this: where do I find a 5-10-10 fertilizer that you recommended? I'm not sure when we did that, but is it liquid or granular? I've searched everywhere, texter says.
Oh, gosh. Interesting, because that's kind of a standard basic fertilizer. It's granular, so it's going to be in a bag. It might be a 3 or 4 pound bag. It might be a 10 pound bag. But yes, most garden centers will have that. Big box stores, maybe, maybe not. But the local garden centers, yes, you should easily be able to find that. And, you know, ask where it is. You might be looking in the too small section. If it's a bigger bags, it could be in a different section, but should be easy to find that 5-10-10 fertilizer. Great for lots of shrubs, trees, and then vegetables as well.
All right. If you're just joining us, Mary Meyer and John Trappi from the U of M answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have this Saturday morning. It's still hard for me to believe it's the 20th of July. What happened right. to summer? My goodness. Can't I, Texas says, plant grass seed now where a tree was, and I can use fertilizer on it. Also, is now a good time to spray clover and dandelions in a different area?
So now is a little too early, I think, for trying to plant grass seed. I would wait about a month, maybe 5 weeks. I think it'll be a little bit easier to keep the grass moist and to keep the seedlings alive during the heat. I know we've had really periodic rain, but we can't really predict the weather all that accurately. So typically we recommend starting grass seed. I would just be patient, maybe focus on weed control in that area in that time. And as far as controlling weeds, the fall is also a great time to do that. And most selective broadleaf herbicides that would control clover, like triclopyr or dicamba or any selective broadleaf herbicide will be safe on those seedlings if you seed in September or sometime in August. So you can do both at the same time, and that's actually when I would recommend doing both together.
All right. I can relate to this. I hate pulling weeds from our landscape rocks. Would preen keep the weeds from growing? If I sprinkle it on the rocks, how much do I need to sprinkle in those rocks?
Well, this is a great question, and preen is one of the most readily available pre-emergence herbicides. And you've got to read the label. There are different formulations of preen, and there are different labels that it has. But it makes a barrier on the soil to prevent seeds from germinating. And it, if applied at the right time, it will prevent a lot of seeds from germinating. So this is not something you ever want to use in your vegetable garden where you might be planting seeds or where you might want grass seed to germinate. But in
where
you really don't want stuff to come up. So yes, you can put that down. It could last for the whole season, but you need to really read the label carefully. What does it say about application? And often it will recommend watering it in afterwards, and it will tell you the rate to use. It will tell you the quantity to apply on a square footage basis.
All right. John, I'm looking at a text that says this: what's the best way to get rid of crabgrass that is taking over the lawn?
Well, the best way is to have a dense and healthy turf from the previous year. So I think as far as the crabgrass is controlled is concerned right now, there's really only one selective herbicide that would take out the crabgrass without harming your existing lawn, and that is quinclorac is the active ingredient. That's the ibuprofen to Advil. Typically, it's tough to find at the consumer level as just a standalone product. Oftentimes, it's mixed with other chemicals, but you'll find crabgrass killer with quinclorac in it. Now, I would say that it's going to be more difficult now. This is really, for now and for about the next 10 to 15 days, is about the last window I would even attempt to try to control crabgrass, because it really only has about another month and a half to live before it sets seed and dies, because it is a summer annual. So focus on really great fall lawn care practices and have a dense and healthy turf for next spring, and then you'll have fewer crabgrass plants going that route.
Fall, and we've talked about it forever, I think, but fall seems to be just a good time as far as lawns are concerned, just a great time for everything, aeration and dormant seeding, all of that stuff.
Yeah, if you were really, if you kind of got the bug for taking care of a lawn at any time of the year and you were going to have the best lawn possible, doing that in the fall would be, basically the whole month of September is a really great time for focusing on weed control, fertilization, aeration, or any kind of seeding.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, hang on. We'll take a quick break here. Invite our listeners to join in if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question. 651-461-9226 for either a phone call or a text. Right now in the Twin Cities, 71 degrees. There are chances of showers mainly after 3 this afternoon. Otherwise, we should see partly sunny skies. We're going to get up to near 80 today. A little better chance of rain tomorrow with highs around 81. At this moment on CCO, 71 degrees. Stay with us. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. Denny Long here welcoming those phone calls and text messages. Any kind of a lawn or garden question this morning for Mary Meyer and John Trappi from the University of Minnesota. And as usual, Mary and John, lots of questions. Let's see how many folks we can help out this morning. Here's another text. How deep of a barrier do I need to stop my daylilies?
Well, daylilies, yeah, that's a good question. I would say, so this person thinks that daylilies are growing too much and they want to control them. I don't know. I guess you could try this and see if it works. Daylilies have got that big root system, but you need to put something down, at least 6-inch barrier down there. I have a lot of daylilies, but I just dig them out if they're growing too much in the area where I want. I thought this person was going to ask for a much more difficult plant to control than daylilies. So I would try 6 inches to a foot barrier.
Okay. John, I'm looking at another text asking about chemical. What chemical should be used to kill quack grass in a lawn? Can you describe what's the difference between crabgrass and quack grass?
Sure. So crabgrass, the one I think most people are probably familiar with or have seen before, it's a summer annual grassy weed that has kind of a lime green color. And it, because it's a summer annual, just, you know, sets seed and dies each year, germinates in the spring. Quack grass is a perennial, and it's a cool season grass, so it actually prefers to grow in the in the spring and the fall. And it kind of has a pale green color, but you'll notice it's the grass that grows the fastest after you mow. You typically find it along sidewalks and driveways and paved surfaces. It's very difficult to control to selectively remove quack grass from lawns. Crabgrass, a dense and healthy turf, is your best defense. Quack grass will just basically get in anywhere. And there are no selective options available for Minnesotans to control quack grass. So our recommendation is, if you do have really severe quack grass and you're looking to replace it with a turf, then you basically have to use some kind of non-selective measure to terminate the whole area where the quack grass is. It spreads by underground rhizomes, and it's very difficult to control. So using glyphosate like Roundup, or using solarization for several weeks to months to kill the whole area and then reseed is your best bet with quack grass.
Wow, that's a tough one. Ooh. This listener says, I have a raised garden bed made with steel siding 38 inches high. Something is eating my green beans. Plants are healthy, but the beans are being eaten from the bottom up, about 3/4 of each bean. What could that be, and what can I do to prevent it?
Well, it's tough to know what that is, the bottom of the bean. That could be mice, it could be pocket gophers, it could be chipmunks, small animals is my guess. Rabbits would usually eat more of the whole plant, but rabbits will try different things. But I would guess it's some type of small ground animal that's doing that. And, you know, you could just do observations, just looking in your garden, try to clean it up try to remove any habitat where they these small animals could be hiding. But you could also try trapping, which is not always the best solution. But that's my guess is that's what it is. Physical barriers also could be more fencing or some netting that you can put over those plants to actually protect them.
Another critter or two question. An infestation of aphids on our sunflowers and also an infestation of black flies. How can we get rid of both?
Well, you could try just a stream of water. Water often will wash off aphids and remove a lot of them. The black flies, I'm not sure. I mean, those I assume are in the air, but whatever. I would try, first I'd try the water, and then insecticidal soap is another good remedy for aphids. Just make sure you read the directions that are on the label itself. And if they're not a huge number of the aphids, your plants can survive a certain amount of aphids, but washing them off with water or insecticidal soap should help.
Okay. This listener says, I live on Marine on St. Croix in an open prairie area. Big blue stem grass has taken over my yard and is 8 feet tall. How do I get rid of it?
That is... That's one of our native grasses that was in the prairie. Yes, it can get quite tall, especially with this year when we've had plenty of moisture. Well, you know, you can dig it out, or you can use a chemical control, or you can try mowing it off. That grass doesn't particularly like to be mowed like a lawn would be, so if you mow it down to 2 or 3 inches, that will certainly set it back. But the other thing is you might decide how much of it you can tolerate, because many people do like that plant, and they use it in prairie restorations. But mowing it is probably the easiest way to start knocking it down, a repeated mowing, chemical, or dig it out.
Okay. Boy, we have so many here, and I know we have to break for weather in just a moment. I want to share something that I just noticed. A little plug for the Washington County Master Gardeners. They are hosting their Learn and Grow with Us garden tour today from 9 to 4.
So yes, I saw that, Denny. Good for you in remembering that. And there's information online about that. I don't think you could buy your ticket online today, but you could. There's a phone number there at the website. And also, if you just show up today at the first garden, you can pay to go see those. So, yeah, Washington County in the western part of the metro. I'm sorry, eastern part of the metro, yeah.
Now, Mary and John, when we do take a break for weather, which is momentarily here, when we come back, let's talk a little bit, find out what's going on at the Arboretum, too. Always like to do that. But here's a question before we do. This test listener has 3 lilacs, at least 35 years old, all in different locations. The leaves are turning brown on all of them. It looks like they are dying. Any suggestions? And thanks for the show. You're welcome.
Yes, this unfortunately is the leaf spot diseases that have shown up the last few years with the stress and then weather conditions that we've had. I don't think this will kill your lilacs, hopefully not. Sanitation, cleaning up any of the brown leaves that fall onto the ground is helpful. If you have some totally dead areas on the plant where the branches are dead, no foliage or leaves, you can do some selective pruning that will help, but hopefully the weather conditions will change. The other thing is that if the lilacs are unsightly with irregular growth, many times lilacs can come back totally from the base if you cut them out down and do rejuvenation pruning. Now, rejuvenation pruning will only really work if the plants are somewhat healthy to begin with, but it's really weather conditions and somewhat healthy to begin with, but weather conditions, and hopefully your plant will be better next year.
All right, very good. We'll take a break for weather here. Just a reminder to our listeners, we have about another half hour of the show to go. Any kind of a lawn or garden question from Mary Meyer, or specifically, if you have turf questions for John Trappi, by all means, call him in, text him in, 651-461-9226. The weather's straight ahead here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, welcoming your phone calls and text messages from the U of M, Mary Meyer and John Trappi. Specifically, John has joined Mary this morning. He is our turf guru. He is the turf expert from the U of M. If you have lawn questions, you're going to call or text in today for sure. Speaking of calls, Mary and John, before we get to talk about the Arboretum, let's grab this phone call from Priscilla, who's calling in from Ramsey, I think, today. Hi, Priscilla. What is your question?
Hi, good morning. We really love your program, too.
Thank you.
I have a 2-year-old hibiscus tree, which we overwintered in my daughter-in-law's first-level home 2 winters ago. This past winter, we put it in our garage with a fluorescent light on it every night. And I have not seen any blooms since last fall. Can you tell me what the conditions should be when you winter in a garage?
Yes, Priscilla, most times you can keep that hibiscus growing year-round. It does not need a dormant period, and as long as it has adequate light, it's fine during the winter. But lack of flowers, so I assume this has got foliage and it looks good otherwise, so I would think about fertilizing and as bright as light as possible. Now, and you do you put it outside in the summertime? I mean, you can give it really good light conditions. You just have to be careful about the exposure to light too quickly so you don't actually sunburn the leaves or burn them because of the bright light, but bright as light as possible, and then I would start fertilizing it.
All right, very good. Again, we always like to talk about the Arboretum. It is such a great resource, and we're so lucky to have it here in Minnesota. What is going on? It doesn't matter the season, because yeah, there's always something going on.
There's always something going on at the Arboretum, and it's good news because they've been working on a paving project for 3 Mile Drive, but it's over. 3 Mile Drive is now open. Yes, they were thinking that several days next week it would need to be closed, but no, today, the first day for the new paving is done on 3 Mile Drive, so you can walk. Of course, you can drive on 3 Mile Drive. Many blooming things at the Arboretum. The roses are looking great in the rose gardens, the clematis, the lots of prairie flowers are blooming. And today is pickle day at the farm at the Arb. It's pickle day. So if you go to the entrance off of 82nd Street where the farm is, you can directly get into that. You can taste some pickles. You can see how pickles are grown. You can look at all the other vegetables growing at Farm of the Arb. Every Saturday for the next few weeks, there's an event at Farm at the Arb. Next Saturday is Potato Day. They'll be digging the white potatoes. They'll be digging sugar beets a little bit later, but wonderful to see all those agriculture crops growing at the Arboretum.
Oh, such a fun place. Head out to West Highway 5 to 41. That's your closest intersection. It'll just be off to your left as you continue on about a block or so, give or take. Great place. University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. And we're going to grab another phone call, but there's this text I wanted to ask first before we do that. We talked about Preen, that product, before. And this texter says, it might be a silly question, but should I apply it before putting down mulch or wood chips or sprinkle it on top?
That's a really good question. I'm not sure if it would address that actually on the bag itself. I would be tempted to put it down before you do the mulch. It makes a barrier on what I consider it like a flat surface, like the soil surface. The mulch itself has got lots of cracks and crevices. I think that's going to be much harder to get a good control when it's on top of the mulch. Of course, if you have an established landscape and the mulch is already there, you know, not much of a choice. But I would have a tendency to put it down before the mulch.
That seems to make sense. Back to the phones we go. Ann calling in from Bloomington this morning. Ann, good morning. What is your question?
Good morning. I have a number of house plants, including a big split-leaf philodendron, and I have a lot of gnats. I'm wanting to know how to get rid of them. I've tried using hydrogen peroxide water, a 1-to-4 ratio, but it's not helping.
Yeah, those gnats, those fungus gnats, are actually coming from the soil of your houseplants, and they're very small maggot-like insect, and then they metamorphosize. They evolve into the fly or the gnat itself. So taking care of them, cleaning them up in the soil is really the issue. We do have a lot of information on this on the website in the extension.umn.edu. There are a couple of home remedies that you can try. If you cut a slice of potato, a white potato, and put that in the soil, a lot of those maggots will come to feed on the potato. Then you can remove the potato slice. You can use a more of a grit or a barrier on top of the soil with your houseplants. They often don't like that when it's the gritty sand-like barrier. So you'll need to do a number of practices, keeping the houseplants drier on the top of the soil, letting them dry out. Sometimes watering from the bottom is helpful as well. But there are a number of things you can do. They're really a nuisance, and unless they build up to high numbers, they don't do as much damage. They do little damage to the plants, but if you have them in numerous houseplants, you might want to use two or three different things. But again, look at the extension.umn.edu website and search fungus gnats, K-N-A-T-S, fungus gnats, and you'll see the recommendations there as well.
John, there's a grass seed question. I know you get this often. This is one of them. What grass seed is the best, fescue or ryegrass?
Well, Mary had just mentioned the Extension webpage. We actually have a new webpage on purchasing grass seed that if you just, you can either web search for UMN Extension Lawn Care or you can just follow the links through Lawns and Landscapes to get to Lawn Care. We have a really great webpage on buying turf grass seed, which includes all of the things that you would need to know to select the best grass seed for your lawn. And we even have some links to some where we know that there are quality vendors within the state of Minnesota that sell more sustainable grass seed like pine fescues. Or if you're interested in planting a bee lawn, you can also find a link for where to purchase that as well.
We have access to some pretty good quality grass seed, do we not?
Yeah, it keeps getting better and better, fortunately, as we've been working at the University of Minnesota and our colleagues around the country have been working on developing more sustainable grasses and working with retail partners and the grass seed growers themselves. The availability has never been better for purchasing quality grass seed that requires less inputs.
Yeah, it's great to hear. Mary, my texter says, my bridal veil seems to be overgrown. How do you prune this, and is there a good time to do this?
Yes, this is a kind of spirea, And you could prune that now. I would do that as soon as possible. Usually we prune it right after it blooms. Pruning it later into the summer means you might cut off some of the blooms. But if this person is really worried about being overgrown, some of those long tips you could cut off, and then you can go back to the base and cut off some of the branches there as well. So a combination between cutting the tips and taking some of the whole some of the branches there as well. So a combination between cutting the tips and taking some of the whole large branches out is the way to go.
All right. We'll take a quick break here. Come right back with more of our Smart Garden Show. If you're just joining us, Mary Meyer and John Trappe from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions this morning here on News Talk A3OWCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Welcoming this morning Mary Meyer and John Trappe from the U of M. Mary and John, we have a few minutes remaining in the show, and of course, lots of text messages. Let's see how many folks we can help out. John, here's one. Can you apply fertilizer to new grass seed?
You can. Typically, what you're going to look for with that is you're going to look for something that has a little bit of mix of quick and slow release. What you can do is just look at the fertilizer label. It'll tell you the percent water-soluble nitrogen. Just look for something that has about 50% water-soluble nitrogen. But typically, you don't want to encourage too much growth. The seedlings themselves typically can get what they need from most Minnesota soils. So I try to not fertilize until just fertilize a little bit at the establishment, and then wait until after you've mowed a couple of times before you fertilize again, just because you don't want to encourage too much growth for the seeds that have already germinated, and then you miss out on some others that have not germinated yet.
Very good. Texter says this: I have a white clematis with dead leaves on vines to the top. Is there anything to do, or just cut down to the ground and wait for next year?
That's right, correct. If the stem is dead itself, the brown leaves, if they're brown and green leaves, I wouldn't do anything to it. But if the whole stem is brown, yes, you could cut that down. You want to look at the base and see if did a rabbit bite that off, or chew something, cut it off, or was it really still attached to the bottom? But if it's totally brown, yes, you should cut it off.
Something, this next texter, my wife asked me to do the very thing. What is the best way to get rid of weeds that grow up through the driveway and the walk? I don't generally like to use the sprays, so I use my pressure washer. I really got in there.
Pressure washer or hot water? Yes,
hot
as long
water,
as
huh?
Yeah, you will. How much will hot water kill them? Totally, right. If it's boiling water, it can kill them. Usually, their surface roots are really shallow root systems, and that can work, but that's temporary. Yep.
But you could use some herbicide, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. You can use a chemical herbicide. The issues you have with your driveway is, you know, how much of that is going to run off? Is it going to go somewhere else? So you have to be very careful in the amount that you apply, because you don't want it rolling around and, you know, killing stuff that's on the edges. So, yeah.
Okay.
And there's always pulling out the weeds.
That's
that
true.
Can work, too.
That's true. It's exercise. All right. My tomato plants, Texter says, are getting yellow leaves near the bottom. This has happened before, but it seems worse this year.
Yes,
it comes from Rick.
I think it is worse this year. The weather conditions we've had have been great for fungal diseases. I've got a lot of yellow leaves on my tomatoes. I think most all of us have yellow leaves on our tomatoes at this point. Hopefully, and what we have found is that tomatoes will still produce, plants will still produce, and you'll still get fruit even though they get these disease issues. Sanitation, taking off any of the brown or totally yellow leaves with the spots on, you can remove those, take them, remove them from the garden, improve the air circulation so there's plenty of space around the plants, and keep the foliage dry. That will help also.
Okay. This listener says, I have lived in my home for 30 years. My front yard is bumpy to walk on during the last couple of years. I was told that was due to earthworms. Well, now I'm noticing this in my backyard. I have a beautiful lawn. What am I doing to attract the earthworms?
Well, you may not be doing anything, or you may just have a really healthy lawn. You know, earthworms are just processing organic matter, and grasses in general are very good at creating organic matter. So the bumpy lawn could be the result of earthworms. It could be the result of vertebrates like moles or voles burrowing. And as far as, you know, remedies for that, there aren't really a whole lot of them. You can top dress with sand, but typically that's a lot of work for really what you're really gaining, which is just a little bit more smoother lawn. There are also some remedies that you can do to control earthworms, but that's very, that's typically not recommended in, home lawn situations. Those are reserved for more professional turf situations. So, try to tolerate it if you can. Otherwise, you could look at top dressing with some sand, just a very light layer of sand to help smooth out the surface. It also discourages the earthworms.
Okay. Another lawn question. This listener says, we started our new lawn last summer with poor results due to the drought. Looking much better this summer. Soil is clay. Clover thrives, but fescue and bluegrass struggles. Would spot fertilizing help?
Spot fertilizing could help. Normally, what I would recommend is just trying to seed a little bit more or overseed those areas that are thin, and then just focus on the best management practices for the rest of your lawn, you know, as needed this fall. So you can overseed starting in late August, right around the time of the state fair, or you can just wait and do a dormant seeding, which is kind of my becoming my preferred method, meaning that you just seed sometime in mid to late November, right before a big snowfall. Those are two great options for thickening up an area, and that's exactly what I had done with my lawn last year to try to help it recover from the last couple of years of drought.
All right. A couple of minutes ago on the show, listener says, I have cucumbers coming in, but they are very pale in color, almost whitish. Could that be because of heavy rain?
It might be, unless it is the variety that you have. But we have had a lot of rain, yes, so we have seen nitrogen deficiency in many of our crops. So if the vines are healthy and green and it's only one or two cucumbers, I wouldn't worry. But you could always use a liquid fertilizer. Liquid fertilizer is much faster acting than granular. So you can put on some liquid fertilizer at the base of the plant. And that could help as well.
Mary and John, John mentioned this earlier, to get on the University of Minnesota website, extension.umn.edu. There's so much to find there, whether it be about lawns. I remember I've looked for, you know, what tree to choose for the yard or what's wrong with my tomatoes or whatever the case may be. But check it out. And also, in this last 30 seconds, get to the Arboretum, right?
Yes, there's so much to see at the Arboretum. There are activities out at the farm. There are lots of things to see, to walk around when the weather is not so hot. And we see a lot of our pollinators are out now, a lot of butterflies, lots of bees as well. So, yes, lots to see at the Arboretum. And, you know, Denny, practically every question that we have been asked today, the answer is up there on extension.umn.edu. So if you didn't hear the whole question or the whole answer, and you know tomato disease, you can look that up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we do hope you come back and join us again next week, though, for our Smart Garden Show. Mary and John, always a pleasure. Thanks for another great job, and I know we'll talk soon.
Yes, great to talk gardening. Thanks, Denny.
Thanks,
yep,
Mary.
Thank you,
John.
Much.
John Trappe from the U of M. He's the turf expert. Mary Meyer, also from the U of M. Now get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Lindis coming along next hour here on CCO. We expect highs today in the Twin Cities about 80, 81. Right now it's 71. Stay with us. And a good Saturday morning to you. Yes, welcome back to this edition of Smart Garden Show, around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. If you're new to the show, thanks for checking us out. Let me introduce you to our great brain power this morning. And we've got not one but two. Mary Meyer from the U of M is back with us once again. Good morning, Mary.
Oh, good morning, Denny. Great to talk gardens. I can't believe it's July 20th already.
I know it. And of course, you may have heard, if you're a regular listener, our turf expert from the U of M, John Trappe. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny. Thank you very much for having me back.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming back. I know, and Mary knows, too, and how busy we do get, generally speaking, but when we can get to some specific questions, Mary knows her grasses as well, and John, of course, is what we like to call our turf guru. So any lawn or garden question, of course, is welcome this morning at 651-461-9226. Keep in mind, you can phone in your question. We'd love to hear your voice. Or if you prefer, just send a text, 651-461-9226. And as usual, Mary and John, we're already getting a bunch of text messages even before the show began, which is not unusual. So let's see how many folks we can help out from the start here. All right. Where am I? All right. This texter says, the show is a highlight of their weekend. Well, thank you for that. They want to start another crop of leaf lettuce, and they were wondering when I should plant that so I can harvest it right before it gets really cold.
Yes, you can do that now. There are actually quite a few things you can replant in your vegetable garden or do succession planting. Lettuce is a great thing to try. You can also try spinach, Swiss chard, broccoli, because broccoli will take cooler weather conditions as well, and green beans. Usually, right now is about the end of the line, mid-July. You can plant green beans, string beans, again, and usually get a second harvest in the fall. So good thinking. When your first crop of beans is done, you can plant a second one.
Absolutely. This listener wants to know, when is a good time to thin out an ornamental crab apple tree?
Thin out. Well, that would actually be the pruning, I'm sure, thinking the person is talking about. You can do that. I would say get that done between now and August 1st. We don't like to do major pruning on trees and shrubs as we're going into the fall. Pruning stimulates regrowth. The regrowth is more likely to be injured in the winter. So try to get most of your pruning done between now and August 1st, I would say.
Here's an interesting question I don't think we've ever had before, John and Mary. What is the best sprinkler, above-ground sprinkler? The back and forth or the round one? What?
Oh, go for that, John.
Yeah,
what do you
I
think?
Love that. Yeah, sure. Good question.
I would say try to tailor it towards what the area needs. It sounds really kind of simple, but you know, sometimes you may have more rectangular shape. Sometimes you'll have more circular shape. Just whatever can evenly spread the water out over the area. And you can probably even find some sprinklers that can be adaptable for the pattern that they actually use. Personally, I'm a fan of the oscillating ones that go back and forth, because a lot of times you can change the starting and stopping point and the pattern a little bit easier.
Yeah, it does make sense. Another text says this: where do I find a 5-10-10 fertilizer that you recommended? I'm not sure when we did that, but is it liquid or granular? I've searched everywhere, texter says.
Oh, gosh. Interesting, because that's kind of a standard basic fertilizer. It's granular, so it's going to be in a bag. It might be a 3 or 4 pound bag. It might be a 10 pound bag. But yes, most garden centers will have that. Big box stores, maybe, maybe not. But the local garden centers, yes, you should easily be able to find that. And, you know, ask where it is. You might be looking in the too small section. If it's a bigger bags, it could be in a different section, but should be easy to find that 5-10-10 fertilizer. Great for lots of, shrubs, trees, and then vegetables as well.
All right. If you're just joining us, Mary Meyer and John Trappi from the U of M answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have this Saturday morning. It's still hard for me to believe it's the 20th of July. What happened
right.
to summer? My goodness. Can't I, Texas says, plant grass seed now where a tree was, and I can use fertilizer on it. Also, is now a good time to spray clover and dandelions in a different area?
So now is a little too early, I think, for trying to plant grass seed. I would wait about a month, maybe 5 weeks. I think it'll be a little bit easier to keep the grass moist and to keep the seedlings alive during the heat. I know we've had really periodic rain, but we can't really predict the weather all that accurately. So typically we recommend starting grass seed. I would just be patient, maybe focus on weed control in that area. In that time. And as far as controlling weeds, the fall is also a great time to do that. And most selective broadleaf herbicides that would control clover, like triclopyr or dicamba or any selective broadleaf herbicide will be safe on those seedlings if you seed in September or sometime in August. So you can do both at the same time, and that's actually when I would recommend doing both together.
All right. I can relate to this. I hate pulling weeds from our landscape rocks. Would preen keep the weeds from growing? If I sprinkle it on the rocks, how much do I need to sprinkle in those rocks?
Well, this is a great question, and preen is one of the most readily available pre-emergence herbicides, and you've got to read the label. There are different formulations of preen, and there are different labels that it has, but it makes a barrier on the soil to prevent seeds from germinating. And it, if applied at the right time, it will prevent a lot of seeds from germinating. So this is not something you ever want to use in your vegetable garden where you might be planting seeds or where you might want grass seed to germinate. But in this was in rock, right? Or, yeah, rock. That,
yes.
Yeah, where you really don't want stuff to come up. So, yes, you can put that down. It could last for the whole season, but you need to really read the label carefully. Where does it say, what does it say about application? And often it will recommend watering it in afterwards, and it will tell you the rate to use. It will tell you the quantity to apply on a square footage basis.
All right. John, I'm looking at a text that says this: what's the best way to get rid of crabgrass that is taking over the lawn?
Well, the best way is to have a dense and healthy turf from the previous year. So best way is to have a dense and healthy turf from the previous year. So, I think as far as the crabgrass is controlled is concerned right now, there's really only one selective herbicide that would take out the crabgrass without harming your existing lawn, and that is quinclorac is the active ingredient. That's the ibuprofen to Advil. Typically, it's tough to find as at the consumer level as just a standalone product. Oftentimes, it's mixed with other chemicals, but you'll find crabgrass killer with quinclorac in it. Now, I would say that it's going to be more difficult now. This is really, for now and for about the next 10 to 15 days, is about the last window I would even attempt to try to control crabgrass, because it really only has about another month and a half to live before it sets seed and dies, because it is a summer annual. So focus on really great fall lawn care practices, and have a dense and healthy turf for next spring, and then you'll have fewer crabgrass plants going that route.
Fall, and we've talked about it forever, I think, but fall seems to be just a good time as far as lawns are concerned, just a great time for everything, aeration and dormant seeding, all of that stuff.
Yeah, if you were really, if you kind of got the bug for taking care of a lawn at any time of the year and you were going to have the best lawn possible, doing that in the fall would be, basically the whole month of September is a really great time for focusing on weed control, fertilization, aeration, or any kind of seeding.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, hang on. We'll take a quick break here. Invite our listeners to join in if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question. 651-461-9226 for either a phone call or a text. Right now in the Twin Cities, 71 degrees. There are chances of showers mainly after 3 this afternoon. Otherwise, we should see partly sunny skies. We're going to get up to near 80 today. A little better chance of rain tomorrow with highs around 81. At this moment on CCO, 71 degrees. Stay with us. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. Denny Long here, welcoming those phone calls and text messages. Any kind of a lawn or garden question this morning for Mary Meyer and John Trappi from the University of Minnesota. And as usual, Mary and John, lots of questions. Let's see how many folks we can help out this morning. Here's another text. How deep of a barrier do I need to stop my daylilies?
Well, daylilies, yeah, that's a good question. I would say, so this person thinks that daylilies are growing too much and they want to control them. I don't know. I guess you could try this and see if it works. Daylilies have got the big root system, but you need to put something down, at least 6-inch barrier down there. I have a lot of daylilies, but I just dig them out if they're growing too much in the area where I want. I thought this person was going to ask for a much more difficult plant to control than daylilies. So I would try 6 inches to a foot barrier.
Okay. John, I'm looking at another text asking about chemical. What chemical should be used to kill quack grass in a lawn? Can you describe what's the difference between crabgrass and quack grass?
Sure. So crabgrass, the one I think most people are probably familiar with or have seen before, it's a summer annual grassy weed that has kind of a lime green color. And it, because it's a summer annual, just, you know, sets seed and dies each year, germinates in the spring. Quack grass is a perennial, and it's a cool season grass, so it actually prefers to grow in the spring and the fall. And it kind of has a pale green color, but you'll notice it's the grass that grows the fastest after you mow. You typically find it along sidewalks and driveways and paved surfaces. It's very difficult to control to selectively remove quack grass from lawns. Crabgrass, a dense and healthy turf, is your best defense. Quack grass will just basically get in anywhere. And there are no selective options available for Minnesotans to control quack grass. So our recommendation is, if you do have really severe quack grass and you're looking to replace it with a turf, then you basically have to use some kind of non-selective measure to terminate the whole area where the quack grass is. It spreads by underground rhizomes, and it's very difficult to control. So using glyphosate like Roundup, or using solarization for several weeks to months to kill the whole area and then reseed is your best bet with quack grass.
Wow, that's a tough one. Whew. This listener says, I have a raised garden bed made with steel siding 38 inches high. Something is eating my green beans. Plants are healthy, but the beans are being eaten from the bottom up. about three quarters of each bean. What could that be, and what can I do to prevent it?
Well, it's tough to know what that is, the bottom of the bean. That could be mice. It could be pocket gophers. It could be chipmunks. Small animals is my guess. Rabbits would usually eat more of the whole plant. Rabbits will try different things. But I would guess it's some type of small ground animal that's doing that. And, you know, you could just do observations, just looking in your garden, try to clean it up, try to remove any habitat where these small animals could be hiding. But you could also try trapping, which is not always the best solution. But my guess is that's what it is. Physical barriers also could be more fencing or some netting that you can put over those plants to actually protect them.
Another critter or two question. An infestation of aphids on our sunflowers and also an infestation of black flies. How can we get rid of both?
Well, you could try just a stream of water. Water often will wash off aphids and remove a lot of them. The black flies, I'm not sure. I mean, those I assume are in the air, but whatever. I would try, first I'd try the water, and then insecticidal soap is another good remedy for aphids. Just make sure you read the directions that are on the label itself. And if they're not a huge number of the aphids, your plants can survive a certain amount of aphids, but washing them off with water or insecticidal soap should help.
Okay. This listener says, I live on Marine on St. Croix in an open prairie area. Big blue stem grass has taken over my yard and is 8 feet tall. How do I get rid of it?
That's one of our native grasses that was in the prairie. Yes, it can get quite tall, especially with this year when we've had plenty of moisture. Well, you know, you can dig it out, or you can use a chemical control, or you can try mowing it off. That grass doesn't particularly like to be mowed like a lawn would be, so if you mow it down to 2 or 3 inches, that will certainly set it back. But the other thing is you might decide how much of it you can tolerate, because many people do like that plant, and they use it in prairie restorations. But mowing it is probably the easiest way to start knocking it down, repeated mowing, chemical, or dig it out.
Okay. Boy, we have so many here, and I know we have to break for weather in just a moment. I want to share something that I just noticed. A little plug for the Washington County Master Gardeners. They are hosting their Learn and Grow with Us garden tour today from 9 to 4.
So yes, I saw that, Denny. Good for you in remembering that. And there's information online about that. I don't think you could buy your ticket online today, but you could. There's a phone number there at the website. And also, if you just show up today at the First Garden, you can pay to go see those. So, Washington County in the western part of the metro. Eastern part of the metro. Yeah.
Now, Mary and John, when we do take a break for weather, which is momentarily here, when we come back, let's talk a little bit, find out what's going on at the Arboretum, too. Always like to do that. But here's a question before we do. This test listener has three lilacs, at least 35 years old, all in different locations. The leaves are turning brown on all of them. It looks like they are dying. Any suggestions? And thanks for the show. You're welcome.
Yes, this unfortunately is the leaf spot diseases that have shown up the last few years with the stress and then weather conditions that we've had. I don't think this will kill your lilacs, hopefully not. Sanitation, cleaning up any of the brown leaves that fall onto the ground is helpful. If you have some totally dead areas on the plant where the branches are dead, no foliage or leaves, you can do some selective pruning that will help, but hopefully the weather conditions will change. The other thing is that if the lilacs are unsightly with irregular growth. Many times lilacs can come back totally from the base if you cut them out down and do rejuvenation pruning. Now, rejuvenation pruning will only really work if the plants are somewhat healthy to begin with. But it's really weather conditions and somewhat healthy to begin with. But it's really weather conditions, and hopefully your plant will be better next year.
All right, very good. We'll take a break for weather here. Just a reminder to our listeners, we have about another half hour of the show to go. Any kind of a lawn or garden question from Mary Meyer, or specifically, if you have turf questions for John Trappe, by all means, call him in, text him in. 651-461-9226. The weather's straight ahead here on News Talk A3O. This is WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, welcoming your phone calls and text messages from the U of M, Mary Meyer and John Trappe. Specifically, John has joined Mary this morning. He is our turf guru. He is the turf expert from the U of M. If you have lawn questions, you're going to want to call or text in today for sure. Speaking of calls, Mary and John, before we get to talk about the Arboretum, let's grab this phone call from Priscilla, who's calling in from Ramsey, I think, today. Hi, Priscilla. What is your question?
Hi, good morning. We really love your program, too.
Thank you.
I have a 2-year-old hibiscus tree, which we overwintered in my daughter-in-law's first-level home 2 winters ago. This past winter, we put it in our garage with a fluorescent light on it every night. And I have not seen any blooms since last fall. Can you tell me what the conditions should be when you winter in a garage?
Yes, Priscilla, most times you can keep that hibiscus growing year-round. It does not need a dormant period, and as long as it has adequate light, it's fine during the winter. But lack of flowers, so I assume this has got foliage and it looks good otherwise, so I would think about fertilizing and as bright as light as possible. Now, and do you put it outside in the summertime? I mean, you can give it really good light conditions. You just have to be careful about the exposure to light too quickly so you don't actually sunburn the leaves or burn them because of the bright light, but bright as light as possible, and then I would start fertilizing it.
All right, very good. Again, we always like to talk about the Arboretum. It is such a great resource, and we're so lucky to have it here in Minnesota. What is going on? There's something. It doesn't matter the season because there's always something going on.
There's always something going on at the Arboretum, and it's good news because they've been working on a paving project for 3 Mile Drive, but it's over. 3 Mile Drive is now open. Yes, they were thinking that several days next week it would need to be closed, but no, today, the first day for the new paving is done on 3 Mile Drive, so you can walk. Of course, you can drive on 3 Mile Drive. Many blooming things at the Arboretum. The roses are looking great in the rose gardens, the clematis, lots of prairie flowers are blooming. And today is pickle day at the farm at the Arb. It's pickle day. So if you go to the entrance off of 82nd Street where the farm is, you can directly get into that. You can taste some pickles. You can see how pickles are grown. You can look at all the other vegetables growing at Farm of the Arb. Every Saturday for the next few weeks, there's an event at Farm at the Arb. Next Saturday is Potato Day. They'll be digging the white potatoes. They'll be digging sugar beets a little bit later, but wonderful to see all those agriculture crops growing at the Arboretum.
Oh, such a fun place. Head out to West Highway 5 to 41. That's your closest intersection. It'll just be off to your left as you continue on about a block or so, give or take. Great place. University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. And we're going to grab another phone call, but there's this text I wanted to ask first before we do that. We talked about Preen, that product, before. And this texter says, it might be a silly question, but should I apply it before putting down mulch or wood chips or sprinkle it on top?
That's a really good question. I'm not sure if it would address that actually on the bag itself. I would be tempted to put it down before you do the mulch. It makes a barrier on what I consider it like a flat surface, like the soil surface. The mulch itself has got lots of cracks and crevices. I think that's going to be much harder to get a good control when it's on top of the mulch. Of course, if you have an established landscape and the mulch is already there, you know, not much of a choice. But I would have a tendency to put it down before the mulch.
That seems to make sense. Back to the phones we go. Anne calling in from Bloomington this morning. Anne, good morning. What is your question?
Good morning. I have a number of house plants, including a big split-leaf philodendron, and I have a lot of gnats. I'm wanting to know how to get rid of them. I've tried using hydrogen peroxide water, a 1-to-4 ratio, but it's not helping.
Yeah, those gnats, those fungus gnats, are actually coming from the soil of your houseplants, and they're a very small maggot-like insect, and then they metamorphosize. They evolve into the fly or the gnat itself. So taking care of them, cleaning them up in the soil is really the issue. We do have a lot of information on this on the website in the extension.umn.edu. There are a couple of home remedies that you can try. If you cut a slice of potato, a white potato, and put that in the soil, a lot of those maggots will come to feed on the potato. Then you can remove the potato slice. You can use a more of a grit or a barrier on top of the soil with your houseplants. They often don't like that when it's the gritty sand-like barrier. So you'll need to do a number of practices, keeping the houseplants drier on the top of the soil, letting them dry out. Sometimes watering from the bottom is helpful as well. But there are a number of things you can do. They're really a nuisance, and unless they build up to high numbers, they don't do as much damage. They do little damage to the plants, but if you have them in numerous houseplants, you might want to use two or three different things. But again, look at the extension.umn.edu website and search fungus gnats, K-N-A-T-S, fungus gnats, and you'll see the recommendations there as well.
John, there's a grass seed question. I know you get this often. This is one of them. What grass seed is the best, fescue or ryegrass?
Well, Mary had just mentioned the Extension webpage. We actually have a new webpage on purchasing grass seed that if you just, you can either web search for UMN Extension Lawn Care or you can just follow the links through Lawns and Landscapes to get to Lawn Care. We have a really great webpage on buying turfgrass seed, which includes all of the things that you would need to know to select the best grass seed for your lawn. And we even have some links to some where we know that there are quality vendors within the state of Minnesota that sell more sustainable grass seed like pine fescues. Or if you're interested in planting a bee lawn, you can also find a link for where to purchase that as well.
We have access to some pretty good quality grass seed, do we not?
Yeah, it keeps getting better and better, fortunately, as we've been working at the University of Minnesota and our colleagues around the country have been working on developing more sustainable grasses and working with retail partners and the grass seed growers themselves. The availability has never been better for purchasing quality grass seed that requires less inputs.
Yeah, it's great to hear. Mary, my texter says, my bridal veil seems to be overgrown. How do you prune this, and is there a good time to do this?
Yes, this is a kind of spirea, and you could prune that now. I would do that as soon as possible. Usually we prune it right after it blooms. Pruning it later into the summer means you might cut off some of the blooms, but if this person is really worried about being overgrown, some of those long tips you could cut off, and then you can go back to the base and cut off some of the branches there as well. So a combination between cutting the tips and taking some of the whole some of the branches there as well. So a combination between cutting the tips and taking some of the whole large branches out is the way to go.
All right. We'll take a quick break here. Come right back with more of our Smart Garden Show. If you're just joining us, Mary Meyer and John Trappe from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions this morning here on News Talk A3OWCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Welcoming this morning Mary Meyer and John Trappe from the U of M. Mary and John, we have a few minutes remaining in the show, and of course, lots of text messages. Let's see how many folks we can help out. John, here's one. Can you apply fertilizer to new grass seed?
You can. Typically, what you're going to look for with that is you're going to look for something that has a little bit of mix of quick and slow release. What you can do is just look at the fertilizer label. It'll tell you the percent water-soluble nitrogen. Just look for something that has about 50% water-soluble nitrogen. But typically, you don't want to encourage too much growth. The seedlings themselves typically can get what they need from most Minnesota soils. So I try to not fertilize until just fertilize a little bit at the establishment, and then wait until after you've mowed a couple of times before you fertilize again, just because you don't want to encourage too much growth for the seeds that have already germinated, and then you miss out on some others that have not germinated yet.
Very good. Texter says this, I have a white clematis with dead leaves on vines to the top. Is there anything to do, or just cut down to the ground and wait for next year?
That's right, correct. If the stem and is dead itself, the brown leaves, or if they're brown and green leaves, I wouldn't do anything to it. But if the whole stem is brown, yes, you want to, you could cut that down. You want to look at the base and see if did a rabbit bite that off, or chew something, cut it off, or was it really still attached to the bottom? But if it's totally brown, yes, you should cut it off.
Something, this next texter, my wife asked me to do the very thing. What is the best way to get rid of weeds that grow up through the driveway and the walk? I don't generally like to use the sprays, so I use my pressure washer. I really got in there.
Pressure washer or hot water, yes,
hot
as long
water,
as,
huh?
Yeah, you will, yeah, how much will hot water kill them totally, right? If it's boiling water, it can kill them. Usually their surface roots are really shallow root systems, and that can work, but that's temporary, yep.
But you could use some herbicide, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. You can use a chemical herbicide. The issues you have with your driveway is, you know, how much of that is going to run off? Is it going to go somewhere else? So you have to be very careful in the amount that you apply, because you don't want it rolling around and, you know, killing stuff that's on the edges. So, yeah.
Okay.
And there's always pulling out the weeds.
That's
that
true.
Can work, too.
That's true. It's exercise. All right. My tomato plants, texter says, are getting yellow leaves near the bottom. This has happened before, but it seems worse this year.
Yes,
it comes from Rick.
I think it is worse this year. The weather conditions we've had have been great for fungal diseases. I've got a lot of yellow leaves on my tomatoes. I think most all of us have yellow leaves on our tomatoes at this point. Hopefully, and what we have found is that tomatoes will still produce, plants will still produce, and you'll still get fruit even though they get these disease issues. Sanitation, taking off any of the brown or totally yellow leaves with the spots on, if you can remove those, take them, remove them from the garden, improve the air circulation so there's plenty of space around the plants, and keep the foliage dry. That will help also.
Okay. This listener says, I have lived in my home for 30 years. My front yard is bumpy to walk on during the last couple of years. I was told that was due to earthworms. Well, now I'm noticing this in my backyard. I have a beautiful lawn. What am I doing to attract the earthworms?
Well, you may not be doing anything, or you may just have a really healthy lawn. You know, earthworms are just processing organic matter, and grasses in general are very good at creating organic matter. So the bumpy lawn could be the result of earthworms. It could be the result of vertebrates like moles or voles burrowing. And as far as, you know, remedies for that, there aren't really a whole lot of them. You can top dress with sand, but typically that's a lot of work for really what you're really gaining, which is just a little bit more smoother lawn. There are also some remedies that you can do to control earthworms, but that's very, that's typically not recommended in, home lawn situations. Those are reserved for more professional turf situations. So, try to tolerate it if you can. Otherwise, you could look at top dressing with some sand, just a very light layer of sand to help smooth out the surface. It also discourages the earthworms.
Okay. Another lawn question. This listener says, we started our new lawn last summer with poor results due to the drought. Looking much better this summer. Soil is clay. Clover thrives, but fescue and bluegrass struggles. Would spot fertilizing help?
Spot fertilizing could help. Normally, what I would recommend is just trying to seed a little bit more or overseed those areas that are thin, and then just focus on the best management practices for the rest of your lawn, you know, as needed this fall. So you can overseed starting in late August, right around the time of the state fair, or you can just wait and do a dormant seeding, which is kind of my becoming my preferred method, meaning that you just seed sometime in mid to late November, right before a big snowfall. Those are two great options for thickening up an area, and that's exactly what I had done with my lawn last year to try to help it recover from the last couple of years of drought.
All right. A couple of minutes ago on the show, listener says, I have cucumbers coming in, but they are very pale in color, almost whitish. Could that be because of heavy rain?
It might be, unless it is the variety that you have. But we have had a lot of rain, yes, so we have seen nitrogen deficiency in many of our crops. So if the vines are healthy and green and it's only one or two cucumbers, I wouldn't worry. But you could always use a liquid fertilizer. Liquid fertilizer is much faster acting than granular. So you can put on some liquid fertilizer at the base of the plant. And that could help as well.
Mary and John, John mentioned this earlier, to get on the University of Minnesota website, extension.umn.edu. There's so much to find there, whether it be about lawns. I remember I've looked for, you know, what tree to choose for the yard or what's wrong with my tomatoes or whatever the case may be. But check it out. And also, in this last 30 seconds, get to the Arboretum, right?
Yes, there's so much to see at the Arboretum. There are activities out at the farm. There are lots of things to see, to walk around when the weather is not so hot. And we see a lot of our pollinators are out now, a lot of butterflies, lots of bees as well. So, yes, lots to see at the Arboretum. And, you know, Denny, practically every question that we have been asked today, the answer is up there on extension.umn.edu. So if you didn't hear the whole question or the whole answer, and you know tomato disease, you can look that up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we do hope you come back and join us again next week, though, for our Smart Garden Show. Mary and John, always a pleasure. Thanks for another great job, and I know we'll talk soon.
Yes, great to talk gardening. Thanks, Denny.
Thanks,
yep,
Mary.
Thank you,
John.
Much.
John Trappe from the U of M. He's the turf expert. Mary Meyer, also from the U of M. Now get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Lindis coming along next hour here on CCO. We expect highs today in the Twin Cities about 80, 81. Right now it's 71. Stay with us.